Technorama episode 654. Happy Halloween, Mr. Spook. Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome! We welcome you to episode 654. And if you are a returning guest, welcome to episode 654. Not much originality there, but we try. We try.
Whatever.
We appreciate you giving us your time, your ears. Even if you're listening to this on double speed, I will try to slow down because I know I speak quickly at some times, especially when I get excited and passionate about something. So good luck with that.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Quadruple speed. Caffeine speed. And this caffeine from the uncaffeinated guy. I'm Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And joining me, as always, is Craig Stepp from South Carolina. How are you, Craig?
I am okay.
Was that some PII? Did I divulge our locations down to the state, city?
I think we, yes, but I don't think it's any secret.
It cracks me up whenever you register a domain or re-register a domain, you know, like with the registrar, says, would you like to pay an extra $25 for privacy? I'm like, that cat's out of the bag. You knew where I was 40 years ago. and everywhere that went along.
Well, you know, the domain registrar that I use, it's automatic.
Ah, okay. We're going to have to talk business next year. Oh, wait. 2022 is when all of ours come
domains
due.
I'm off GoDaddy. I don't use it anymore.
I'm looking at it too, if the price is right. So we shall see. We shall see.
All right. I see we're going to have a technical meeting for Technorama.
We will indeed. Okay, right. We have some feedback from this week. Actually, it's our question of the week. So yeah. Let them play out that music.
Letters. Oh, we get letters.
Ladders.
Letters.
Letters.
Mailman, mailman, mail today.
Select this to hide a comment and replies to it.
Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, bye. Oh, I better put the pre-show banner away. Let's see. Brand. Just go to the bug. Hey, our question last week was, what is the stupidest scene in a movie that totally took you out of the story? And this must have been a harder question because we didn't get quite as many replies as to, like, what's your favorite candy?
Right.
People had to think about this one. So that's right. I will start out with one, and then we'll drill into some other shares and see what happened. Mike Robison says, the opening scene from Highlander 2, where you could see the springboards used for the extras, simulating them getting flung from explosions. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and let's see, this is one from Gary Lindros, and of course, I immediately got it. It's been a long time since I've seen this movie. The crotch chomper. Neuter scene in Ice Pirates. Even for that movie, it was a low blow.
Never saw it, and sounds like I'm thankful I wasn't.
You know what? Maybe you should.
No. No. Ice Pirates is not on my bucket list. Weber Baker says, watching an acoustic modem auto-dialing in War Games. Never noticed, but now that you pointed it out, thanks. Next time I watch it.
Yeah. I have to remember. I don't remember that. I remember the scene. I just don't remember.
Hang on. We've got some detail. Replies to this one. Steve London says, but that's how it was. LOL.
Yeah. Well, kind of.
I know. Right, but so, no one else did. Loved that movie, but it hasn't aged well. Oh, Weber says, well, yes, but acoustic modems couldn't do that. You're right. Acoustic modems couldn't auto-dial. You dialed them with the touch tone, and then you listen for the tone and put it in the coupling. And
yeah. Movie magic, though. You know, they got to...
Haven't... I didn't notice. Now you're ruining it for me.
Nobody wants to watch a technically accurate hacking movie. I think that would be...
Or a technically accurate spy movie. Or a technically accurate archaeologist movie.
Yeah. It took him an hour to get dressed to go to the event.
Here's 4 months of Indiana Jones in the library.
That's right. it's not here. You know, look somewhere else. Our buddy Joe Fiore says, in The Phantom Menace, when Padme is cleaning R2-D2 and Jar Jar comes in and introduces himself, Jar Jar basically does nothing more than recap the movie up to that point to Padme. It's like George Lucas decided they needed to recap. For people who came in late.
Next time someone comes into your meeting, your Zoom or something late, Lisa gonna recap this for you. Financials, wow, yeah. Financials is a down 2%. What are we going to do?
I thought that was funny. That was pretty good.
Steve London says, the end scene from Gladiator when she asks him, who wants to help? Who wants help carrying him out? That threw me totally off. But I recently saw a whole movie that made me mad. Robin Hood 2018, though that one sucked major big time. I love reading through his translation too. This is kind of fun. The one that made the King Arthur Legend of the Sword to appear as an Oscar candidate, and that was a bad movie. He boy, Steve, you're just batting 1,000 on your movies on this
one. No kidding. I see. John Miller Jr. said, the end of the movie, I Am Legend, that starred Will Smith. The studio changed the ending so to the movie, despite the whole movie building up to the ending it was supposed to have.
I heard there were multiple endings to that one. And yes, that is not how like the book ended. But
you know, I know it's very subjective to say this works and this doesn't work. So studio execs do not need to change the endings to movies. That's happened multiple times, not on this, just this film, but you know, how many times has an exec stepped in and you end up with a movie that did not? Well, look at Zack Snyder's Justice League. It's the whole reason the Justice League came back out, you know?
There were several endings of A Nightmare on Elm Street that were filmed, and they were all like, hey, now we should make them do this, and oh, they should drive off in the car and the top comes down, and oh, let's grab the mom and pull her through the front door. and they montaged several of those together to get the ending that we all know and love, but there were several more that ended up on the cutting room floor. Brian Parker writes, the raindrops keep falling on my head sequence in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Now I really want to go back and watch that. That was one of those movies that I'm going to talk about later that I know I've seen at least some of it, but don't remember hardly any of it. So I'm kind of going back to those movies right now and watching all of them. And we'll talk about that when we get to Pass Me the Remote. I added one in there.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because, and we can talk about it a little bit more, but I was thinking the same thing. I started going, what about all the movies that were just above my quote unquote pay grade when I was a kid,
right,
that I wouldn't have seen then? But I'm kind of going, I wonder what I should go back and watch now. Maybe that's our question of the week.
What movie came out that you weren't allowed to watch when you were young and now you want to watch it? Or what? How would you phrase that?
I don't know. I got to think about that. Okay. We'll get there.
We're not good at phrasing things with language.
Yeah, words, stupid words.
We talked to Grammar Girl. Music can only mean one thing. It's time for On This Day in History. Or a marching band is going right through my studio.
Yeah.
No, it's not the latter. Okay, good.
Okay.
This is On This Day in History.
It's just Todd.
Yeah, he's waking up, so he's going to have to move at some point. On This Day in History for October 27, 2021, this is the 300th day of the year. How about that? Mm. And you can do the math and figure out that there are only 65 days remaining in 2021 because it is not a leap year. It was on this date in 1904 that the first underground railroad, first underground New York City subway line, pardon me, opened, later designated as the IRT Broadway 7th Avenue line.
And it was also on this date in 1961 that NASA tested the first Saturn I rocket in mission Saturn Apollo 1.
October 27, 1962, by refusing to agree with the firing of a nuclear torpedo at a U.S. warship, Vasily Arkhipov averted nuclear war. Thank you, Vasily. We born in the after years appreciate that.
Right, no kidding. And it was 33 years ago today that Ronald Reagan suspended construction of the new U.S. embassy in Moscow due to Soviet listening devices in the building structure.
I heard about that. I forget if it was Spycast or something else where I heard that. Just like, whoa, the embassy in Russia, they had it in like the concrete columns.
It was in the structure of the building,
right?
The actual,
that's right, not a cheap fix. Happy birthday goes out of the state to American actor and businessman, founder of the Singer Corporation. Yes, Isaac. Not yeah, Singer. Yes, we can pronounce
Speaker.
It. Guess what he made?
Guess what he made?
Yes. What did Isaac
Sewing
Singer?
Machine.
Yes, you are right. Go That's and right. listen to. It was a recent replay of Tech Stuff, I believe it was. All the copyright patents and whatnot around sewing machines. Very interesting corporate battles and espionage and whatnot going on. Well, anyway, Isaac himself was born on this date in 1811.
And funny enough, English actor, comedian, and screenwriter and producer John Cleese is born also on this date. He's 82 today.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. No, that wasn't him that said that line.
No, it wasn't.
American colonel, engineer, and astronaut Stephen R. Nagel was born 75 years ago today.
And Mexican-English physicist, cosmologist.
Yes, cosmologist, not cosmetologist, cosmologist.
Oh, no, I was thinking cosmetologist in
my
head.
No.
An academic, Carlos Frink, born on this date in 1951.
Also born on the same date in 1953, American actor, director, and screenwriter, Robert Picardo. How do we know that name?
He was the captain of the Enterprise.
The emergency command hologram. Yeah, well known for his role on that show. Listener birthdays today include, this week, October 28th, Dylan Licata from San Antonio. Hope we're saying that right. He's been on this birthday calendar for about 10 years. 29th, Big Jim Clark from Megapodtastic. Don't know if he's still on Megapodtastic, but we'll go with that. Wolf Geek from Indiana is October 30th. Then we jump into November where we have two birthdays. Our own patron, Amber Elstead, is on the 1st and Mark McCoy on the 2nd. So happy birthday to all of you. And of course, Craig, if you'd be so kind to put up that banner or crawler or whatever it is to let people know how they can get their name on the birthday calendar, they can go over to chuckchat.com/birthday. There it is.
Yay. Yeah,
and we will give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. So a little longer list than last week, but not quite. We are going to fade the band out, tell them they are done, collect their paycheck, and move on their merry way.
Yeah. Out you go.
I still would love to have like that sound of a band just sort of as they
try to put one
door.
Together. I'm not done with it yet.
Yeah. Maybe we can get John Bell to do that all with his mouth.
He probably could.
He might have enough sound effects of like, this is the sound of a tuba falling down.
We should just go buy the instruments and drop them down some stairs, you know, record it.
We had an electronic keyboard that had one particular effect. I forgot what it was called. And it sounded like somebody just throwing pots and pans down the stairs. So we just call it the pots and pans. You know, you got.
I'm actually got the vision of doing that in my house and watching all the cats go.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun.
they would all have a heart attack, but.
Let's get into the good news, everyone.
Good news, everyone.
That's what I said. Your turn.
All right. So China's Shenzhou 14 is on standby to launch in case of space station emergency.
I'm really sad that we don't read these articles anymore because this is just filled with Chinese names that I know Craig would have fun with. But we'll leave the naming out of it. Tell us, why do they need Shenzhou 14?
Well, Shenzhou 13 had just launched on October 15th. And
this reminds me of that joke about Preparation H. What happened to Preparations A through G?
Right. We don't talk about those.
So what is Shenzhou 13 doing?
It is going up to their, Tangwei. Their module of their own space station, the Tiong space station.
That's right.
So they took off and they get there, 6.5 hours later, they're finally there. And then back on Earth, the Shenzhou 14 is on the launch pad and it's ready to go. So they, They already had it fueled. I mean, I don't know about fuel, but they have it ready to go because it is actually for the next mission for them. However, it's on standby now in case there is a situation where they have to get maybe bring the astronauts back or whatever they have to do to fix the situation, which I think is kind of smart. Now,
as long as it's not an emergency situation that requires like 15-minute service, because like you said, it takes hours to get up there. And if I read the article right, they said, oh, yeah, we can have this launched and ready to go in a couple of days. Like a couple of days. Yeah. I hope someone's not having a heart attack right now and needs to come home.
Right. Well, like our own International Space Station has the Russian
Soyuz capsule
that they can jump in and go down if they have to.
And, their station does as well. They mentioned they've got a couple of escape capsules on there. But it's kind of neat that they're staging the next one while the current one is live. That should make turning around the next mission, where 14 is going to bring up, I think it's at least one more module to the space station. So that'll be neat. And then we could link up the space stations, and then we'll have, no, actually the ISS is supposed to be decommissioned soon, which I think is really sad.
I think they were looking at ways to extend it, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. And also, they said that this planning was reminiscent of the way NASA had was doing it with missions, planned to rescue space shuttle crews if their vehicles had, suffered damage in orbit, which I guess technically a couple of them did have damage going up to orbit. So
help. A rock just went right through the main module and we're leaking air. We have 60 minutes left.
That's right. So anyway, that's great planning, and I think they're doing it well. They got their next launch vehicle in place, ready to go. I guess I assume it just takes time they got to fuel it and prep it and get it ready. So I would say that it's relatively a short period of time to be able to launch, as you mentioned. But
so Craig, why don't they just leave it fueled all the time?
Probably a safety issue. I don't know that you can.
No, the way that I heard it, if they're still using the same fuel combinations we did way back when, notice I didn't say back in the day because that phrase bothers me for some reason. I just can't stand that phrase.
Okay, that's fine.
It's because the liquid oxygen literally boils off while they're sitting on the launch pad. So if you fueled it up today, you might not have any fuel tomorrow because it's all gone.
Yeah. So, it's like I put my Coke in the fridge and now it's flat.
Worse than that. Much, much, and costlier too.
Yeah. Then they got to drain it. And then it's waste. So it's, in a sense, it's just a waste to do that, to fill it up and let it sit there.
In other space news, we found that Jupiter's been hit again by a similar impact that we saw from the Observer in Brazil.
Hey, wait a minute. By the way, I noticed that this was the same date as the launch of the Shenzhou 13. So I wonder if the Shenzhou 13 overshot at Jupiter.
It would take a long time to get to Jupiter.
That's right.
That's what happened to 12. 12 launched about 5 years ago.
They couldn't shut it off and it just kept on going.
Yep. That has been known to happen, or stories out of that are out there. If you've watched some of these space documentaries or history of what happened, there are reports of a Russian a cosmonaut that went into orbit, but the orbit wasn't stable and they sort of flung off out into space. And they these people said, I was listening to whatever it was, the shortwave radio or whatever they were listening to. And they said, I heard somebody not screaming for their life, but just kind of saying goodbye to everybody. Like, what? That would be terrifying.
What was this?
I forgot where I watched. It was like History Channel or Discovery Channel years ago. I was watching it. They start out talking about things like you could tune into your a radio and hear Sputnik go by. Beep.
Yeah.
Beep,
right. Beep.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also had things the Russians didn't ever tell you happened. Things that NASA didn't ever tell you happened.
Sure.
Kind of that space is out there to kill you, and it did. It wasn't just dogs and monkeys and farm animals that died in the space program.
Yep.
So, let's see. Anyway, we were talking about Jupiter, things crashing into it. In yes. September, there was a someone in Brazil, I believe it was, that just amateur sky watcher went, "Hey, look," and it was confirmed. And then in Japan, the sky watchers in Japan observed a flash in the atmosphere in the northern hemisphere as well. And this one seemed to last a lot longer than what we saw out of Brazil. And now keep in mind, we're looking at the sunny side, the you know, the side facing the sun, and a lot of stuff is probably coming in on the other side. Now, they said it's usually the frequency of things crashing into Jupiter is roughly a two, three times a year, and we've seen it twice in 2 months. And again, that's only on the near side. And if you look at, you know, our moon as an example, the backside of the moon is a lot more pockmarked than the side we see. So
it's been blocking for us.
And granted, Jupiter is a massive planet and it tends to draw things in anyway. Mm-hmm. So whatever this was either on its way out or, you know, kind of flung around from the gravity. We don't know exactly what orbit it was on because all we saw was the impact. It did not leave this big burn scar mark like Shoemaker Levy 9 did, the pictures that you see for there. That actually hit on the darker side, and we had to wait for it to rotate in. So that was a case of, hey, look what hits the backside, and we see the evidence a few hours later. So
I watched the little video, and I had to kind of zoom in or make it bigger, because at first I was like, I think I missed something, and I watched it again. It's only like a minute or so. And then you can see it kind of going, you know, like you said, it was shining for a period of time.
It's actually somebody stranded and they're using a mirror to try and signal us.
Send the Shenzhou 14.
Soon. We only have an hour of oxygen left.
That's right.
So, yeah, stuff happens all the time. Jupiter's a big vacuum cleaner. That's it for the news. Let's move on with the Hacks and Strange Stories. What do you have from Yahoo News, Craig?
Well, as it turns out, we've gotten a little more confirmation, or not only confirmation, but I should say speculation from Bill Nelson. He's the he served as President Joe Biden's NASA administrator since May, and he was talking about the possibility of extraterrestrial life. Now, one, it's NASA's mission to kind of look for external life, a part of their mission.
Yep.
But he said he was talking about some aerial phenomenon that happened back in 2004, and of course, subsequent to that, for many years. Well, we always hear, you know, reports of UFOs or some unexplained phenomenon. And he was talking about this particular one that was seen by some naval pilots, and he had talked to them about what they saw, and they confirmed that, you know, it did one of those things like you see it here and then you see it here and it goes around, and it moves in weird ways a lot faster than expected. He said, he hoped that it's not an adversary here on Earth with that kind of technology, but he talked to the naval pilots and got their firsthand account.
I didn't feel there was any real substance in this article. I'd say, we know that the space is big and we're acknowledging there have been some unidentified sightings. What are they calling them now? They're not unidentified flying objects. They're, it said right at the beginning of the article.
Aerial phenomena, UAP.
Yeah, because I'm going to be a ufologist instead of an ufologist.
Well, if you think about it, if it's something that is not extraterrestrial, or, I mean, it's still unidentified, of course, and it is an aerial phenomenon. So
right.
That makes sense.
I get that, but I just... I think I mentioned on the last show that I kind of get roped into these UFO shows because they show up on my Netflix list because I watched one at one time and I'm really not getting anything out of them. It's like, show us the proof. You know, a film of a dot flying around doesn't convince me that there's extraterrestrial life or that, you know, Russia has these super space spy craft or, you know, we haven't proven anything, and I'm kind of the cranky old man and frustrated at this point, But let's, at the heart of it, I'm a scientist and I want evidence. So extraordinary claims demand extraordinary evidence and pony up.
Whenever something happens, you can guarantee that the worst camera is going to catch it.
Yeah, we have a gazillion cell phones out here. We captured the Chelyabinsk meteorite or asteroid entering the atmosphere from 30,000 different angles. Yet, what do we have about UFOs?
Well, but like I said, it's like security cams. You know, whenever you need it, it's always fuzzy. It's always the worst cameras capturing the best experience. So anyway.
I'm not saying that the possibility of life outside of Earth is not a possibility. And you can define life any way you like it, from basic microbes on up to intelligence life that can do interdimensional travel. Okay. That's way far advanced. And I am not going to deny the fact that there are many things in this universe that we don't understand. So we may be looking at something we just can't comprehend at this point, as if an airplane flew over someone in the fourth century. They go,
yeah,
that would be a UFO to them, right? And they would probably write stories and draw books.
No, it would be a UAP,
and they would, they'd have sketchy drawings in tablets that we find today. But so there is the possibility that something is out there that we don't understand, and I'm kind of frustrated that we don't understand it. The good news is, at least the government's not denying it and just going, weather balloon.
Yeah.
That's good to know that they say, yes, we have evidence of things we can identify, maybe if the public takes a look. But it's not trying to protect us so we don't panic and, jump off rooftops anymore.
Well, I think that's in what you said is the substance of this article, is that, we're actually getting someone that's talking openly about it and said, it's a possibility. I taught these guys and what they saw was real, but they don't know what it is. And so it was the confirmation from somebody higher up is what I'm getting at.
It kind of blows holes in the whole X-Files show anymore, does it? Like, Agent Mulder, the public can't handle the truth.
That cancer is caused by smoking.
All right, let's give a quick shout out to remind everybody that we do this show on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Pacific on Facebook and YouTube. You can join our page to get notified automatically over at facebook.com/technoramapodcast. I almost went to the YouTube link or something, the website, but you can find us also at chuckchat.com, where the likes of John Miller Jr. and Mike Robeson and several other people are hanging out with us, making their snarky comments as we put them on the screen every once in a while. I already took care of the "what did Jupiter ever do to you?" So very nice. Thank you, John Miller Jr. Or if you're watching this later, thank you very much. You can always get this in podcast form delivered to you by subscribing on Apple Podcasts and Google and Amazon and Spotify and the usual places. At this point, we usually drop into the segment that starts with this music. Woo! Yes, that's the Remember When music that we could get in trouble for, because I hear it all the time.
Yeah, we got to keep talking over it.
Yes, keep talking over it so their algorithm can't spot the waveform. This is from Yahoo News about a crab in amber jewelry. And yes, it's just like it sounds from Jurassic Park, only it's not a mosquito. It's this little 2-millimeter long crab. And I thought this was rather fascinating. Thank you for the story, Craig. I love stories like this, and I hope our listeners do too. That about 100 million years ago, this little teeny crab died. But you go, so what? Well, there's this big gap in crab history. You're like, okay, didn't know that. So 125 million years ago, we had non-marine crabs split off from marine crabs. Marine crabs being the one in the waters, non-marine crabs being the one on the land, or possibly even freshwater. Well, there's this big gap because we didn't really have any evidence of the non-marine crabs till about 75 million years ago. So it was like, whoa, 50 million years? That's older than grandma. And
right.
We didn't, and somebody found this, and it's about 100 million years old. And they're saying, it looks like it could be something modern. You look at it and go, oh, cool, it's a crab. That could have been faked yesterday. Well, they found this in like a street shop or a jeweler store over in China in 2015, and recently recognized it for what it was and did some studying. They even did a 3D rendering of it and even animated it. They go, if this thing could crawl on the bottom, it would look like this. And kind of fun to watch. But they said this is going to fill in some blanks in the crab history. And why is that important? Because, you know, you got to know where life came from and how it evolved and what it looked like back then to understand who we are and how we got here today.
Yeah. So I just want to know, yes, does it taste like a modern crab?
2 millimeters long. You're going to have to boil a whole pot of those things just to get a spoonful.
I mean, like eating popcorn.
It's like chocolate covered crickets. Got a claw stuck in my teeth.
Oh, one of the cool things, and when you go to the thing, the video shows the 3D image of the crab, which I thought was really cool.
They kind of render it and do this 3D modeling of it. I thought that was fun. Yeah, and it starts to crawl around the bottom, and the tide comes in. It's like, wow, yeah. Make me feel like I was really there 100 million years ago.
Did you say where they found it?
China.
No, they found it in a market. It was part of amber jewelry.
Right, in China.
Oh, this is great. I'll just put it on some...
It says, according to the U of A researchers, they came across, that's in quote, came across a 2 millimeter long crab embedded in a piece of amber jewelry in a Tengchong, China market back in 2015.
I bet the guy was like, whoa, what is this? And I just blew his mind that it was sitting in a necklace or something. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I don't think that... Oftentimes, people like that don't realize what they have on their hands. Until a scientist comes along and says, I'll take that for 5 yuan or whatever they're buying it for.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for that. We also have our patrons to thank at the moment. So, forgot to.
Right.
This music. Yeah, that music. That's not going to get us in any trouble. thank you to our patrons. This show is brought to you by you, and you. Specifically, Alexis Duran.
And that's
Duran.
It. Good night.
Amber Elstad, who's got a birthday coming up. Don't forget to wish her happy birthday if you have her on social media. Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dandy Man Coyer. You know that when we do this on video, you ever watch Romper Room when you were a kid?
Yeah.
And the lady would hold up the magic mirror, which had no mirror in it. It was just this ring.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
She goes, who do I see? And she start calling out names. Yeah. I see Dean Jensen and Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, John Noble, Jorga Schrauen. Thank you, Christina, Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle. Thank you, Mike Wills, Chris Martinez, Saturday Morning Media. Extreme thanks to Stephen Weshey, Steve Therian, Steve Cody, and Steve London. All of you people make this show possible. You pay for the bills that keep this live stream going. They keep the podcasting going, the hosting that's coming up. We just had a license renewal yesterday. I went to upgrade our soundboard app that plays these musical clips. And it said, hey, guess what? We have a new version. And then I upgraded and said, hey, guess what? You can't do anything until you license the new version. I went, well, that was a dirty trick.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Your old version stopped working?
Because it's gone. On the Mac, you download the new one.
Come on.
And it goes into the applications folder and overwrites the old one. Oh, it gets even better with Big Sur. Put the thing on the bottom of the screen so they can see to go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast to become a Patreon member and help us avoid these unexpected expenses. Yeah, with Big Sur, you can't run multiple versions anymore.
Oh, right. Because I think whenever you went to install an app on Mac previously, it would ask you, do you want to replace or keep?
Right. I would always keep the previous one. I'd like ScreenFlow or Wirecast or whatever. And I would call it, you know, ScreenFlow 9 or Wirecast 14.2.1. And then when I download the latest one, I'd make a copy and go, okay, here's 14.3. In case it blows up, I still have 14.2.1. Oh, no. Because in the security settings, when you say, hey, you want access to my screen to share screens or broadcast something, or there's often things that you have to do for keyboard access or camera access. Mm-hmm. It kept bringing up the old version, and the new version would say, I can't do this until you let me share. Great. Go to security settings and share ScreenFlow 13. Nope. Still said 14.2.1. I said, oh, this is BS. I couldn't just move it out of the folder. I couldn't just delete it. I had to clean the trash. I had to completely obliterate all old versions of that. So now my only recourse is to, of course, copy the config files before you install and run the upgrade so your new files aren't formatted for a new version, but keep the install files of the older versions, which I didn't always used to do. So it's getting a little... I understand there's probably security reasons why they hack. Do that.
That's what it is. For you.
I had a hack around that worked, and I'm going to make another one. It's just going to be different. Wow, we used up all the music talking about MagPacks. Yeah.
Thanks, Imperial Band.
If somebody has their own answer for what you can do on Big Sur to run multiple versions, I'd be glad to hear it. Rather than install this and then, oops, if it didn't work, you delete it and install the old version back. That's doable.
Okay. Well, here's some not free feedback for this, but Mike Rubin says they hope they find Baby Godzilla in Amber soon. Oh,
no,
that's a twist on Jurassic Park, doesn't
it? No, we don't want Baby Godzilla. Thanks for spotting that comment, Greg. Okay, we have, what's next? Pass me the remote. So this one.
That's right. I have a remote to give you. Sorry.
That's what we should have used for Clinton's news segment on the last topic is Trek.
That's right.
When he did that editorial segment about CBS.
Had to put that on the topic is Trek presets.
All I have to do is hit an arrow when it's on the next screen.
That's right.
Nice thing about this sound card thing is you can just rotate through the pages of different shows. Anyway, what do you got for the first one, Craig?
Well, the first one, I watched the new version of Dune, which was kind of funny the way they released it. As a little side note.
When somebody else was talking about this, I think it was Grantis, my son-in-law, and he said Dune, and I thought he said Doom, like the one that's based on the video game. Wait.
Yeah. No.
Wait, what?
I don't think it was successful enough to even think about remaking that. No, Dune, of course, by the books we know and love. But what's funny, here's HBO Max. I sat down. I went, oh, that's right. It's it should be on. So I had something to eat. I sat down in front of the TV. I was going to start watching it. And as soon as I put in, went to the HBO Max, and I saw it didn't let me play it until 6 p.m. on Thursday.
Oh, that's right, because they released it in theaters, and they said, well, we're going to wait a certain period before we're allowed to show it on HBO Max.
HBO Max, this is one of those movies that they were going to release in theaters and on streaming at the same time. What they did was they moved up the streaming a day, which I thought was interesting. So it came out on Thursday on HBO Max, came out on Friday in theaters. But what's funny is I couldn't watch it until after 6 p.m.
That's when your parents go to bed. No, when the kids go to bed.
My parents are probably still up watching Jeopardy at that point. But so anyway, I went and watched
something
else for a few minutes.
Yeah, they're on the VCR.
Yeah, so I had to go, I pulled up a YouTube video or something, and until after 6 I could watch it. Anyway, so that aside, I thought this was really good. It is part one of Dune. Which,
that's
it's a long story.
That's what Grantis said also. It's like they didn't wrap it all up. They got to the point where they met the family of... trying to remember what the cutoff point was. You tell me.
It's right at with him where he goes and he's with the indigenous people, and they're going to, you know, he's trying to learn his... I don't want to give it, if anybody hadn't seen it, I don't know if I want to spoil anything. But anyway, basically, Paul, his family gets killed off, and he's with the indigenous people at this point.
Okay.
You know, his family is in charge of watching over the Arrakis. His family, it's actually a plot, kills off a lot of his family. He's still there, and now he's going to learn to be one of them.
Right. You know. How to ride the sandworms.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm referring back to the old original one from what was it, the 80s? Did they render the Traveler? I mean, did they show the Traveler?
Not really.
Okay, I want to see how they do it. I can't remember where he comes in the story at this point, but
yeah, no, not
yeah,
at this
that's
point,
that's about the same review that Grantis gave. He said it was pretty darn good.
It was really good. Just expect to be at the end going, you know, because it's the first part. It's not. You know, so they didn't really wrap up a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Because it's ongoing. But hopefully, they will make part two and whatever, three,
speaking
whatever they're going to do.
Speaking of hopefully part two, I heard a rumor. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is true or not. It might just be Twitter bait. That Mel Brooks, at age 95, is finally going to make History of the World Part 2.
Yes, on Hulu, of all places. Actually, it's a, I think it's going to be a short series. I don't know if it's going to be a movie.
Well, the whole thing was pretty much a sketch comedy anyway.
Yeah, right. So anyway, Dune was great. The visuals were fantastic. I thought it was beautifully made. The action sequences were really good. You know, I watched the original Dune not too long ago because I knew this one was coming. I thought, you know, I'm going to watch it. And, you know, it kind of aged a little bit, but the choreographing of the fight scenes weren't as good as this one. This one was fantastic. So anyway, go check it out. Dune, I can recommend it.
All right. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, I have gone back and rewatched some old films that I either watched part of or never remember seeing, whatever it was, like Apocalypse Now. We all know it as that Vietnam movie.
Right.
I thought it came out in the early 70s. It's actually from 1979. Martin Sheen, Lawrence Fishburne. There are a ton of Marlon Brando superstars in this movie that went on to make very good careers. And I thought this was a special edition. They called it Apocalypse Now Redo or Redux.
Mm-hmm.
I may have even spelled it wrong. On Netflix.
They didn't redux anything. They expanded it.
They did. What was it? 52 or 56 extra minutes? Yeah. Over 3 hours long now.
Yeah.
I tell you, that affected the pacing. It is a slow movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Punctuated by points of either insanity or gunfire. I was like, okay.
Was it worth it? Revisiting it?
I'll be blunt and say no. I'm trying to find the merit that made this, aside from the actors, that made this great. And when you hear Martin Sheen narrating, it sounds like the Martin Sheen you know. But when you see him from 1979, half the time I was seeing Charlie Sheen and the other half I was seeing Emilio Estevez, because you could see both those guys in their dad.
Sure.
It was just unbelievable. I'm like, wah!
Yeah.
The genetics are really fun. So
it's kind of funny. It's like when Michael Douglas was in Ant-Man at the beginning of it, and they had the young, they did. I thought they did a fantastic job making him look, or de-aging him. And when I first saw it in the theater, Harrison's watching it for the first time, and he's like, just watching the story. I'm kind of going, that's the Michael Douglas I remember, the way he looked, you know, back in the day.
It's funny. And you don't really see that, like, between Michael Douglas and Kirk Douglas. Some, but not mm-hmm. to the extent that I was seeing it.
Oh, yeah, they had Martin Sheen. Similar features in the middle. Yeah.
I mean, Kirk Douglas had that very cleft chin.
Yes.
Or as my nephews call it, a butt chin. they said, they were looking at pictures of my dad when he was younger. He goes, Grandpa Juris has a butt chin.
That's funny. Well, I thought about watching this, but maybe not.
I would hold off. It's a bit like watching the original cut of Star Trek the Motion Picture and then coming back and watching the director's cut. This is the reverse. It's like, wow, the other one's better. Where are we on the time?
I don't know about you. I'm getting kind of tired of all these revisits. You know, it's like you said, adding this to it, trying to reinvigorate an old movie. It's like,
yes, there's George a name Lucas for that phenomenon. I was just going to say, it's the George Lucas phenomenon.
Yeah. And you know, I remember going to see those in the theater in the 90s and going, what the heck is some of it? You know, the only thing that I think that came good out of, George Lucas's revisit was, The Empire Strikes Back, when they're in Hoth, the ships look like they more or less belong in the environment rather than having almost like cutout lines, you know, when the speeders are flying in the snow. That looked better, sure, but...
Well, you didn't care for the creatures as they were about to trade in the sand speeder? You know, these are not the droids you're looking for. There were extra things in the town?
Yeah, like the big...
The big monster. Butt. Yeah, and it raises up.
Yeah, the dewback walks by. I'm like, right. No. Or Or at the beginning when they first pull into Mos Eisley, they're going across and you see like little creatures going in, you know, getting mad or something stupid, silly. The Jawa falling off the back of that brontosaurus. It's like, come on. it's too cutesy. It was too cutesy. Just leave it.
Tell us how you really feel, old man.
Yeah. Get off my internet.
What does Harrison think of it?
Actually, you know what? It's funny you bring that up because he's off at school and he's taking a film class and actually last year, and his professor had the original theatrical cut and they watched that as part of one of the classes. So they watched the original cut without all the extra crap, which is kind of difficult to find unless you got a VHS copy or maybe a laser disc, you know. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. He said, oh, it's pretty good. I mean, we watched it before. He's just not a super Star Wars fan, but.
All right, let's do a couple more before we get out of here. We need the Geek Library music. There it is. Ooh, very ethereal and appropriate for our next story. John Miller Jr. says he said, but.
Yeah. All right, so. Something I've been clamoring for a long time. They finally did it.
You're talking about KTEL brings you Sounds of Mars.
That's right.
Check out the. You'll get such hits as Helicopter Flying on Mars. Here, let me play that for you.
Buy the 12-disc set this weekend and get a special offer.
This has been specially filtered to isolate the helicopter. You'll also hear such hits as Rover Driving on Mars filtered. And if you act now, you'll also get Laser Zaps Rock on Mars.
Riveting.
And the ever popular number one hit, Wind on Mars. Now, I could fall asleep to that. That's almost as good as the Enterprise.
You know what? It sounds like a thunderstorm in the distance.
Okay, now go on with the story because I have some interesting factoids around this.
Yeah. So, of course, like I said, I've been clamoring for why don't they do this, you know, kind of thing a long time. They put NASA's rover, the Perseverance rover. They have two microphones. One's on the base of the unit, not facing down, but it's on the port side facing out. And one is on the camera mast. So there's one they can turn and, I guess, do a little more directional audio with it like they would the camera, be able to move it around. So they recorded these. Like you said, the wind gusts on Mars, the laser, different things are rolling around. And I thought it was interesting hearing the rolling around because it doesn't sound like you can hear something going conk, 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 conk. You know, they're hitting the rocks with the metal wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they launched an interactive source at NASA that allows your listeners to listen to the recordings. So everybody gets a chance to listen to these. And when they said it was speaking of some of the sounds that they were picking up, is that if you were standing on Mars, you would hear a quieter, more muffled version than you would hear on Earth.
And there's a good reason for that.
You'd have to wait slightly longer to hear that. And yeah, the reason is because the atmosphere is obviously a lot thinner.
Yep.
For one, and less dense. So that's why a lot of that sounds a lot different. I was just trying to, they said the atmospheric pressure, density, and chemistry, is all different.
Cause so it's CO2 instead of nitrogen oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And they said you lose a lot of those upper frequencies, like old man hearing that I've got. And it's a lot more bassy because of, like you said, the atmosphere, the density. And I don't know if you guys ever did this experiment in high school, but, we put like a bell going ding, ding, ding inside of a glass bell jar and then hooked up a vacuum pump to suck the air out. Yeah. And you could hear it getting quieter.
Yes.
So the atmosphere is less dense on Mars. So it's going to be quieter. It's a different composition. And I thought this was really cool that they actually did bring the science in here. Craig, I just discovered there's another link on here because they have Earth sounds, they have Mars sounds, and this says you on Mars. So what do you say we do a quick recording here?
Okay.
I'll I'll do the introduction. It says maximum of 10 seconds. So let's see if we can get into 10 seconds. This is live. We're not practicing this. Hey, welcome to Technorama from Mars. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
It's a little cold here.
Get to the chopper. Oh, click and hold the recording. I didn't read the instructions. I just clicked it. Okay, we're going to do take two on that.
Did you ask to Mars?
Okay, here back. We go. It didn't. All right. I had to press and click and hold to record. I forgot the hold part.
Oh.
Welcome to Technorama. This is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Mars. With me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
It's cold and the air's a little thin today.
Okay, let's see how that goes. Processing audio.
Stupid.
I want to hear how we sound on Mars.
Okay.
30%. This is exciting. It has to send it to Mars and back.
There's nothing like watching the time bar.
The Perseverance rover. The Perseverance. You on Earth versus you on Mars. Okay, so this is us on Earth. Oh. Welcome to Technorama. This is Chuck Tomasi for... Okay, we heard that. Here's us on Mars.
Oh. Welcome to Technorama. This is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Mars. With me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
It's cold and the air's a little thin today.
So really, they just put a low-pass filter on this thing and called it a day. I'm not that impressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, how come you on Earth is you on Earth versus you on Mars, and then you on Earth? Okay, this one, wait. The first one says, you on Earth versus you on Mars. From sunny Mars, with me is Craig Stepp. How are you? Okay, there's you on Mars, and this is you on Earth.
Oh.
Welcome to Technorama. Okay, that sounded like the first one. They have three waveforms in here, and the first and third sound the same. I'm not sure what's going on. All right. Oh, you can download the clip.
Hey. Hey, that got me thinking now. Huh? I'm going to have to make some clips.
Okay, let's. I want
to. So they upload this to the rover and then bring it back down to Earth. Download it.
Lisa, gotta get out of here. This is not a good place for Gungan.
Shut up, Jar Jar.
I want to hear.
Yeah. Let me take your helmet off.
All right. Well, we're not going to wait for that to render and come back.
Yeah.
Let's move along. One more story. We have 3D Bennu. This is a graphic that you can find if you go to our show notes, chuckchat.com/technorama. Look for episode 654 and click through the, there it is. Click through the link to episode 654. Get to the show notes under the Geek Library. It'll say 3D Bennu. And if you put on your red and blue glasses, you will see Bennu in 3D.
There we go.
So I don't have my 3D glasses with me.
I do. See?
Okay. Yeah. That,
it does look pretty cool.
I'm sorry. I have to do a screenshot of that.
I just want to reach out. I just feel like I can reach
out
and touch
it. It's so lifelike. I took a screenshot of that. That's priceless. That's going to be our cover art.
Right.
Tech drama in 3D. So have fun with that. And we are going to let you go this week. Our Patreon topic of the week is waiting for us, but our question of the week is going to be waiting for you. We do have... Oh, you didn't decide whether or not you're going to be doing
I didn't get to finish. We kept moving along.
Did you do Did you decide you're going to do a show next week? You're going to have a guest?
No, I'm not going to. It's Halloween. No.
Is it Halloween? We've done October 31st shows before.
Yeah, I got family coming over.
Oh, okay. What about the next week? I'm still out. You're going to have a guest then?
I will make an announcement on the Facebook.
Okay, watch for that, Technorama
people. And Twitter. I'll put it on Twitter as well.
Okay. There you go. So if you're following Craig or the... Do we still have a Technorama Twitter account?
Yeah, we post... I do.
Okay,
I
the social media department has not been keeping me apprised.
You're gonna go look at it. It's going to say, Chuck is stupid.
It's going to say, last post, 2008. We have an account. No. We didn't say we were any good at it.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, you know what? I kind of want to start using it more than, for stuff like this. Anyway, you get the idea.
Our question of the week is, what are some of your Halloween traditions? That's all we want to know. Yeah. So we'll ask that, and we'll come back in a couple of weeks with that information for you. I will be back in 3 weeks, taking some well-needed time off in some tropical, they are tropical, islands, but they're not the Caribbean islands. So you can make, I'm not going to the lava island, La Palma, which would be really cool anyway, but not very safe. And I don't know if they're flying in or out at this point, but I'm rambling on. So let's get on with the end of the show, which is.
I'll do at least one show while you're out. So.
Okay. Deal.
Somebody else on here. All right.
If I'm around that Sunday, I'll try to watch. It's always fun to watch your own podcast when you're not on it.
I know. That's right.
Okay. We appreciate you giving us your time again this week. Call us on the listener line. You got that contact information ready for him, Craig?
Sure.
707-530-CHAT. 707-530-2428. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat. I'm waiting for the crawler to come up. .com. That's like, what it was. .com.
You're talking like you haven't seen it before.
Yeah, I have to read it as it comes up. So let us know. We haven't heard from some of you. In fact, which one? It was this line. We got an email from Google saying, we're going to shut you down if you don't check your voicemail or somebody doesn't call soon. So I did that. In the meantime, give me a binary high five, Craig.
All right. 101. Bye, everybody.